Just a little correction. The first scripture should be Matthew 5:45. So again, my name is Rhonda Ramsey, and I'm a lay servant at Plainwell First United Methodist Church. Thank you for inviting me and the opportunity to share a message here this morning. Please join me with prayer. Lord, let your word go out from my mouth so that it does not return to you empty, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you send it. Amen. Bad things. Our world from the outside seems to be filled with hate and fear and tragedy. The news covers it sometimes minute by minute from every angle so that we can't possibly miss any of the evil or the horror. Death and destruction, violence and unkindness are placed before us continually, no matter how much we try to remove ourselves from it. Eventually, this hate and fear touches everyone with its darkness. We may all come to question God at some point. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is innocence destroyed? We try to follow the rules and treat others the way we want to be treated, and yet life deals us a blow, or we ourselves make a poor choice. Matthew 5:45. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Today I'm going to share with you one of the bad times in my life. One normal routine work day, when life felt somewhat calm, which isn't always the case when you have four children in your home, I received a call from school. They said one of my children was in the counselor's office and that I needed to come immediately. They assured me that my child was not hurt, but I needed to come anyway. My imagination took me down several different scenarios in the 5 minutes it took me to drive to the school. I could only imagine what my child had done to warrant this unwanted summons to the office. I was nervous about the consequences of their bad behavior and how it would affect me. All I could think of was, now what? They were waiting for me, and I was ushered straight into the office where my child sat across the desk from the counselor. They didn't keep me guessing, but explained that my child had shared with a pale mentor something that had happened to them. A pale mentor reported the incident to the counselor. Let me explain that PAL, Peer Assistance Leadership, is students who go through an application process after being nominated for consideration by their peers. Once they are accepted, they go through training on how to be supportive to other students within the school system. These students that they support may be going through different life situations such as time management struggles, family issues, depression, and more. A student can request to talk to a PAL whenever they need one throughout the day. And so my child had shared with a PAL that they had been molested. I felt as if someone had punched me hard in the stomach. The breath was knocked out of me, and I thought I was going to be sick. Through a dense fog, I tried to listen as they told me the details, but I couldn't wrap my head around what they were saying. I was frozen on that last word I had heard. This wasn't what I had expected to hear. It was worse. The guilt of not knowing that this had happened to my own child and the fact that I had been unable to prevent it slammed into me and bound me speechless. This was not supposed to happen to someone I love. This only happens to people I don't know, people on the news, far removed. It couldn't be real. I take my child and we go home. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to act. What do I say? We are advised to go through the steps. I was unable to think properly and of course wanted to do the right thing. So yes, tell me what to do. Step one, my child had to explain to a group of police officers and officials what had happened. I couldn't be in the room with them. Step two, I had to take my child to the doctor for a physical exam. Step three, I took my child for counseling. I felt I was doing the right thing, but my child hated me every step of the way. Was I helping or only making it worse? The police assured me that my child would not need to appear in court, and so I foolishly promised my child they wouldn't have to talk about it anymore. Another day, another phone call. They were sorry, but my child would need to testify after all. It was going to court. I was a monster. I had promised. I remember crying a lot, crying till I was drained and had no more tears. I asked God, how could this happen to my child? And I was crushed by guilt. Because I remembered that day, and I had a bad feeling about the situation. But I brushed it aside and left my child behind because they wanted to stay. Please don't ignore the nudges you get when you are in certain situations. Pay attention to your gut feeling. I know it isn't productive to play the what-if game, but if I had went with my gut, it would have saved my child and myself a lot of heartache. But I chose wrong, and so I prayed and I cried and I prayed some more for the outcome of my mistake. I bred hate and unforgiveness in my heart for this person who had hurt my child. This person who themselves was a minor, only 4 years older than my child. During this time, I was attending a Bible study, studying the book of Romans. And I kept hearing the message that you should pray for your enemies. Every Saturday morning on my way to Bible study, I had to pass this person's house. And every Saturday, the hate would fester and grow a little more. Pray for this person? Are you serious? And yet, in between the guilt and the hate and feeling like a monster, I also felt a nudge, if you will, to be obedient to my faith in God and in His Word. So I prayed that if it was God's will for me to pray for this person, He was going to have to help me because I just couldn't do it on my own. The following Saturday, on my way by the house, I prayed a few short words for this person. They certainly weren't heartfelt. I didn't feel any more charitable, but I kept at it. Every Saturday, praying for this person as I passed by. After a while, I began to think about what kind of home life this child must have. In order for them to treat someone smaller and younger in this manner, were they passing on what they themselves had learned and how they had been treated, or yet may still be experiencing? My prayers for this person began to take on a different shape. The hate wasn't so powerful and controlling. I started to feel a little concern for the well-being of this child and wanted them to receive help to possibly stop the cycle. My best friend also played a very important part in this journey. She was there whenever I needed a listening ear or to just sit with me in the darkness with our tears mingling together. Don't underestimate the importance of being that person for someone. No words are necessary, and no one should have to be alone in the dark. However, now what will happen with my child? Will they once again have to tell a room full of adults what had happened? Would they hate me forever? It was a Friday afternoon before we were scheduled to appear in court as the first case on Monday morning. I felt the weight of the world on my shoulders. I was leaving the house and everyone else was already out in the car when the phone rang. I believe it was 5:05 p.m. I almost ignored it as I was struggling just to put one foot in front of the other in order to reach the door. But I gave a big sigh, turned back, and picked up. It was the courthouse calling to say the other person had settled out of court. They would be on probation, get counseling, and my child no longer needed to testify. I literally sunk to my knees right there on the kitchen floor, in shock, tears flowing once again, but this time out of relief. I picked myself up and hurried to the car to tell my child they didn't have to appear in court. I felt like I could breathe again. I wish that I could say everything was fine after that, but I remained a monster in my child's eyes for about another 5 or 6 years. Then one day it seemed out of the blue, they told me they were tired of treating me as if I was a monster and wanted to change the way that they chose to fight with me about everything. Another moment of stunned shock and unbelief. Now, isn't that a God moment? If it isn't, I don't know what is. Slowly things did get better, and we were finally able to put this behind us. What if there is simply no good to come out of difficult situations the way we understand good? Our definition of good seems quite different from God's definition. We want a miracle. We are offered grace. We want an end to suffering and pain. We receive hope. We want to be strong. We're shown the need of a Savior. What if the good to come is to draw closer to God and to grow in faith? What if the good is to be more aware of your own weakness? What if the good is to help carry someone else's burden? What if the good is to be thankful no matter how you may be feeling? Maybe the good is an abundant life, life received through praising God with random acts of kindness and serving others, giving of yourself, supporting one another, teaching what you know, sharing what you have. Not abundance in worldly things, but blessed to be a blessing and being able to forgive and to be able to forgive and move on versus not. Psalm 112, 4 through 6. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. In a reading from Powerful Inspirations Daily 9:23-18. And once the storm is over, you won't remember how you made it through, how you managed to survive. You won't even be sure whether the storm is really over. But one thing is certain, when you come out of the storm, you won't be the same person who walked in. That's what this storm is all about. Jesus is the only one who can get you through the storm and walk with you out the other side, because he's been there. He's been on his knees pleading with God. He's shed tears on our behalf, and he's felt abandoned by God. Yet he continued to seek out his Father in his will, trusting him with the outcome. Pour out your heart to God. He can take it. He can take your doubts, your questions, and your unforgiving heart. Turn to him and ask for understanding on how any good can come from the storms. Speak with him about how you can continue to grow closer to him in the midst of the storm. Then offer thanks that you are not the same person you were in the past. I can't answer why bad things happen to good people. I don't think that's a question we'll ever understand this side of heaven. But I can assure you that God is right there with you in the tears in the darkness and in the pain. He can ease the hate in your heart and honor your prayers, even if he needs to do the praying for you. Matthew 19:17. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. I'd like to conclude with a prayer. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the impossible. You can do anything. I want to trust in your ability and not my own. Teach me to see difficulties in my life from your perspective. Help me to focus on you and your power. Help me not to fear, but to trust you in every situation. I declare my faith in your ability to fulfill your promises to me. You will fight for me and win the battles in my life. You are mighty, powerful, righteous, and true. Amen.